Good morning. Shabbat Shalom. This week's Torah portion is titled Ikev. It takes us from chapters 7:12 to 11:25 in the book of Deuteronomy. Ikev translates to English as because, but more specific, a consequence of, referring to an action. Parsha Ikev is a continuation of Moses' translating God's commandments, judgments, and statutes to the newly formed nation of Israel. The Parsha begins with Moses calling the nation of Israel to take hold of the commandments given to them by God. It was important for God's ordained nation to fully understand and abide to this agreement if they were to prosper and succeed in their new inheritance. The commandments of God were to be written on their hearts and minds, definitively understood prior to passing over the Jordan. If they were to abide in God's word, fully trusting in Him alone, the agreement and relationship would come to be realized. Adonai promised to love them, bless the fruit of their womb and ground, increase their grain, wine and oil, as well as herds and livestock. They would also maintain good health and not experience any of the plagues from Egypt. The chapter continues with God's instruction to utterly eradicate the inhabitants of the land, showing no mercy. The Canaanites were idolaters, worshiping false gods with idols formed by the hands of men. The Israel nation wasn't called to coexist and accept their form of religion, but to completely remove the culture from the land. This included the idols by means of fire. Even the gold and silver were to be disregarded and not coveted. Moses closes the chapter with an eye-opening caution in verse 26, where he states, "And you shall not bring an abominable thing into your house and become devoted to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest and abhor it, for it is devoted to destruction." In other words, paganistic culture, along with idolatry, has a damning and destructive effect, much like leprosy. Small and insignificant at first, but eventually consuming its host and household. Moses continues to reinforce in chapter 8 how God provided for them during their Araba experience. Manna from heaven, clothes that didn't wear out, or feet that didn't swell during this trek of 40 years. All these things were meant to teach the nation of Israel to fully trust and become completely dependent on God and Him alone. They had to humble themselves to accept the provisions from God, knowing it was from Him and not of their own resourcefulness. Unlike the desert experience, the Lord was preparing the nation of Israel to inhabit a land flowing with fresh water that brought life to beautiful valleys and hills. A fertile habitation that naturally produced wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive trees to produce oil, and wild honey. Moses reminds the nation not to become haughty, and that all that they were about to receive came from God and Him alone. The chapter closes with Moses reinforcing the fact that if they were to chase after strange gods, they would perish like the pagan nations who inhabited the land before them. Chapter 9 begins with Moses explaining all that the nations of Israel would expect prior to taking possession of this land. There were cities and nations that were greater and mightier than the nation of Israel, with walls that reached the heavens. There was also Anak, king of the Anakites, whom they knew the likes of from previous encounters during their 40-year journey and would soon have to contend with. Taking possession of this inheritance would be a monumental undertaking without God. The emphasis here is that a successful transition from death to life for the nation of Israel wouldn't be achieved due to some measurement of righteousness or because they were good people, or for that matter, militarily equipped to handle the situation, but by grasping firmly and safeguarding the Lord's commandments set before them. Moses spends the rest of chapter 9 recounting past transgressions, stressing their stiff-necked attitude and rebellion. Chapter 10 continues with the summary of Moses' intercession for the people regarding the golden calf. God was ready to be done with them if Moses didn't intercede. Subsequently, they received a second chance and a second set of tablets. Also, Aaron dies at Mosera and is replaced by his son Eleazar. As the journey continues, the Levites were called by God, by his ministers of the covenant, the Levites. This included the transportation of the ark, minister his degrees regarding worship, and also speaking the blessings over the nation in God's name. Chapter 11 is the last chapter of this parsha. Here Moses gives a vividly expanded dissertation to reinforce the need for the nation of Israel to follow God's commandments in wisdom if they were to receive his blessings and protection in their inherited land. There was no other way. Moses was nearing his death and spoke these words with great compassion and yet great authority. As we reflect this week's parsha, one might ask, what exactly can we take with us today? Is there a lesson here? I say most definitely so. Moses was presenting definitive instructions that one would have to understand and follow, having already exited a life of uncertainty and entering into a firm, reliable relationship that would need to be built completely on faith. In other words, the commandments were meant for a people already free and secure. As believers in our Messiah Yeshua, we can recall that time in our life, a time of uncertainty, not fully understanding the meaning of life, and still being east of our Jordan, as it were. Praise God that through understanding and acknowledging the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua, we are now a redeemed people. Once dead in our transgressions and alienated from our Creator, we have been offered everlasting life with him. For our purpose today, crossing over the Jordan and into the promised land means obediently undergoing baptism and outwardly professing our faith before God, family, and congregants. As a family of believers, we acknowledge and confess this new life daily through Messiah Yeshua. This transformation beckons us all to become steadfast pillars, ambassadors to our families and community, immovable stones bearing the tenets of our faith in our hearts and outwardly demonstrating the transforming power of Yeshua in our speech and conduct. We are to boldly and congenially share, as Moses did with compassion and great authority, the good news of our Mashiach, who has come to earth, bore our sins, and died, risen again, and soon to return. Our transformed life should be clearly evident to those who are standing at the shore of their own Jordan River. We have been called to be a separate and distinct people, not carelessly following the patterns of this world. The nation of Israel was to follow the instruction of Moses by faith. Yeshua told us that if we have faith, even the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains, and that nothing is impossible. Through God's grace, we have been provided with all the sustenance of life to bring us safely to this season. But just as yesterday's manna wouldn't remain until today, we must ingest the bread of life daily. We need to continually be in the Word. God willing, we will then begin to have compassion in our hearts for a lost and dying world. The sustenance and courage in our speech, in the Spirit-led authority, as Moses, to guide those who are already at the river and have their river experience. Amen.